Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Word of Life class. This is not the class you intended to be. That's okay. You can stay here. But if you intended to go to a different class, this is your time to step out of the room. Okay, nobody's moving. Great. So to start off, my name is Ethan Ritnor. I am leading the campus in Rochester. This is Chelsea.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Leroy. I'm from Brooklyn. I am a campus student and intern with the...
So today's topic is the bread of life, the word of God. How can we get inspired to read it, to be in it, and to live it out in our lives? So if you could please turn in your Bibles to John 15, we're going to be starting in verse 1. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Says, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while the branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no more than this, to lay one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Now, I know that was a long passage, but I wanted to read it all for your own for context. Jesus makes it very clear that we, as the branches, can do nothing apart from him. How many of you have tried to do something with your own strength with no help at all and it works out for you?
No.
Right? At some point, it just collapses. And the same is true of our spiritual lives. We can't do anything apart from God. We can try to serve others. We can try to be the best for each other. But without God, it's meaningless. How can we really speak into people's lives if we don't know the scriptures? I've tried that too many times. With my own logic and my own thinking, it sounds great. But the scriptures are the truest form of knowledge and wisdom that we can, in life, that we can give to other people. Jesus says that if you keep, remain in my love, if you keep my commands. So Jesus says, if we keep his commands, we'll remain in his love. If we're not keeping his commands, if we don't know his commands, how are we in his love? That's what part of what Jesus is saying. If we want to be in his love, we have to keep his commands. If we don't know the word, we don't know Jesus' commands. And that is something that Jesus makes it very clear here. But if we do remain in his love, he's saying it's for our benefit. It's for our joy. So that we might be complete. How many of you are looking to be filled, to live a full life, to be complete? How many of you are searching for that? Right? All of us. All of us are looking for that. So why? Or my first point is, why should we fall in love with God's word? Simple point is this: because we want to be loved. We want to be complete. My next passage that I want to turn to is 2 Peter 1, which I think will give us a better, fullest extent. 2 Peter 1, 3, starting in verse 3. 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. So his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. The godliness, mutual affection, and mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have these is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the writer is saying that through God's divine power, he's given us everything we need to live a godly life. There is nothing that is left for God to give us to live the life that he wants us to live. But that is only found, all those answers are found in the scripture. Do we believe that? Do we hold to that? Do we believe that God has given us everything we need? Or do we think that we can find it somewhere else? He's given us all of this and his promises so that through them we could participate in the divine nature, be a part of his kingdom, be a part of his family. Because he wants us to escape the corruption of the world that are caused by evil desires, ours and others as well. And why does he want us to do this? Because he wants us to supplement our faith with all these qualities. But there's a condition. If you fast forward to verse 8, he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Christ. If you increase in these qualities, they will keep you from being unproductive. It doesn't say they might keep you from being unproductive. It doesn't say at some point you'll get there. It will. It's a definite article, but it's also a conditional article.
Yeah.
You have to be increasing in these things. That's a challenge. That's daunting, but it's possible because God has given us everything that we need to live a godly life. If we don't believe that when we read the word, it's just a story, it's just a good teaching, it's just words on a page. But if we see it as the word of God, if we read our Bibles every morning, waking up, and see that this will keep me from being unproductive and ineffective in my knowledge of God, then you'll want to read it. You'll want to know and how to apply it. And do you believe that by falling in love with God's word, that by reading it, you can escape the evil desires of the world, or even of your past? For those of you that are disciples, that do you believe that by continuously reading and persevering in the word, that you can escape the evil desires of your past, or maybe of your current sins? If you're disciples, you've seen that. You've lived it already. What is stopping you from continuing to read the word? What lie has Satan told you that you stop believing in God and his word and the truth? If you're guests here today, who have you maybe built a friendship with that can tell, that has poured into you maybe already, you maybe just met, ask them, how has the Bible changed you? And why do you read it? They will tell you. And it's amazing. Growing up, I didn't love the Bible. I didn't love God. Even though I grew up in church. I tried everything to escape the evil desires that I knew were wrong, that were taught by the scriptures, that were taught by my parents. I knew they were wrong and I didn't want to do them, but I could not stop feeding those evil desires, feeding it in my mind, feeding it in my actions, until I met people that were willing to sit down and show me the truth of the word. But it was only after they showed me, and I actually read it for myself and started to believe it, did it actually change me. So when you're reading the word, do you read it and want to understand it? Or are you just reading it because somebody told you that it would help you? Yeah. Are you just reading it because it's a habit or it's a pastime? Or are you reading it to learn and grow in your knowledge so you can help other people? If you're reading it just for yourself, you're missing the point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God called us to be a light to the world. And if those who, I don't know if anybody's here for Mark's message, but his message was on giving. Part of our motivation for reading the word should be to help others come to God. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have the motivation to read it for yourself, do it for others. Do it for your family. Do it for your friends. Do it for your coworkers, maybe, mm-hmm. that don't know Christ. Do it out of your love for them. And with that, I'll have Chelsea come up and share a little bit.
Hey, guys. So, this is going to sound kind of funny, but I always hated reading. Like, I just never enjoyed it. I just didn't connect, you know, just picking up a book and going to the library or whatever. I would only do that for my mom if she made me for a school assignment or for an actual school assignment that I had to complete. But when I started to study the Bible, and even when I became a Christian, I was faced with this challenge. I have to read my Bible every day. I'm like, okay, something's got to give here, you know, I got to change something. But I realized that I needed to train my mindset. I really needed to grasp onto this because I wasn't going to succeed as a disciple if I wasn't reading the Bible. And when I became a disciple, I was in high school. My dad used to drive me to school every morning because he would work out of state, and therefore I had to be at school at like 45 minutes to an hour before school started. And my friends would get there early too, and we would just sit, and actually this is a little bit before I became a disciple, and then while I was a disciple, we would talk, we would gossip, we would talk about very inappropriate things. And then when I became a disciple and like was trying to be like, oh, maybe I can sit in here and, you know, try to like change the direction of the conversation and stuff like that, but it just wasn't working. I was like, okay, I can't sit here and listen to this stuff anymore. Like, it's not helping me, and I don't have the strength to change, we'll change them and change the conversation. So I was like, okay, well, now I have like this extra hour before school. Why don't I just start reading my Bible? And I did, and I started to grow a love for the Bible and a love for God, and a little bit of a love for reading too. Now I don't always read for fun, but I do. Like, I will read some things here and there. But all that to say that I saw something in God's word that was changing me and changing my perspective of God's word. And I was like, okay, I have to hold on to this. And I love the passage 2 Peter 1, 7-11. Like, it's such a reminder of how when you are in the Word, God is trying to build your character. You know, He is trying to build you to maturity, to make you an effective disciple and follower of Him, and even to just deepen your faith. And then John 15, it's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. But I love when Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That was verse 4. If we want to be faithful, like if you think of a tree and that's growing, let's say an apple. If an apple isn't ripe and you pick it, first of all, it tastes horrible. I don't know if any of you have ever tried it before, but it's very bitter, it's very sour, it's like literally disgusting. But it's just, it's not good, you know. And if you think of your faith like that, if you try to detach yourself, like, oh, I got the word, like, I understand this passage and whatever, like, when you get into real life and get into situations, you're going to find yourself ineffective through those situations because you're not ripe. You haven't fully gotten the nutrients and everything you need. And something that I had to recognize is that the word is God. You know, John 1:3, so you don't have to turn there. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. But this verse is literally talking about Jesus, about how Jesus was with God from the beginning, and he is the Word. Mm-hmm. So when you read your Bible, don't think of it as like, oh, this is just some task I have to do, or somebody's going to ask me about what I read today, so let me just read it so I can say something. You know, like, you're interacting with God when you read the Bible. That is God talking back to you. It's such an important aspect of your relationship with God because, you know, we pray, and that's how we communicate our needs to God, but we got to listen back to God. I mean, you have to listen to God. You have to hear what he's trying to teach you and what he wants you to learn. But it's just so cool to see how that the word is God. So yeah, so just keep that in mind and think about that, like, when you're reading your Bible, like, you're on a date with God. You're spending time with God right there because that's what you are doing. So just wanted to share that.
If you could please turn your Bibles to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 9. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 9 says this is of David speaking about God. The law of God is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Brothers and sisters and guests, when we read the word, when we read what God commands, do we see them like David saw them here in this passage? That God's laws are perfect, that they refresh our souls, or do they make us bitter? They're making us bitter. Probably don't see them as being perfect. We'd like more than anything to change them. Do we see them as trustworthy, that are making things simple, that are making wise people look like fools because of how simple the Word of God is? Do we see them as right, giving us joy in our hearts? As we read in John 15, that my joy may be complete in you as you abide in me. Do we see them as radiant, literally giving light to the eyes? When you were studying the Bible, or you walk up to the disciple, you can just see something different about them. They have that glow to them. Do you recognize that the fear of God is pure? That it's not something to be feared or that's wrong, but it's something that to be cherished and celebrated? Do we see his decrees as firm and are altogether righteous? All of it, all of them, all the time, or only when we agree with them? Chelsea?
Yeah, this is a great passage because it's about the perspective of God's word. Just like Ethan was sharing, it's, do you find the word trustworthy, radiant, giving life, giving joy to the heart, like all these things? It reminds me of Ezekiel 37. You don't have to turn this, you don't have time to read it. It's a long passage. It's verses 1 to 14, so if you're on your own time, you can read it. But it's this beautiful analogy that God takes Ezekiel to this valley of dry bones, right? And he asks Ezekiel, like, do you think these bones can live? And he's like, only you know that, God. But then God's like, okay, well, tell these bones to live and to hear the word. And then he will, like, give his breath to the bones, and then they would build flesh and muscles and, you know, their ligaments and tendons and all this stuff. So in this analogy, God literally has these dry bones, like, start rattling together, coming together, getting the tendons and muscles and all that stuff, but then they're still not fully living. But then he's like, I'm going to breathe life into them. And then they come to life. And that's what God's word does for us. We are like dry bones. You know, without the word, we have no, we don't have our true purpose. Just like Ethan asked, like, how many of us are trying to find our true purpose? You will find that in the Bible when you apply God's word. It's that powerful that, kind of like I was saying before, with if the word is God, then think of the Bible breathing life into you. It's breathing this refreshment into you. Just like Psalm 19 says, it's perfect and trustworthy and giving light. It's radiant. Like, that's what the word does. It produces light in your life. It takes you from darkness to light. And it's just so powerful in how God wants to transform you using his words. So just to be inspired by God's breath, get into God's breath. You know, talk with God. Read his Bible. Mm-hmm.
So just to transition into my next point with a couple of questions, I think, I've said these before, but how can we claim to be living a godly life if we don't know God's commands? If we don't read his word, how can we claim to live as a Christian, as a disciple, and say, I know what God wants, but I'm not reading his word. I know what God wants, but I don't understand his word. We're lying to ourselves and we're deceiving others when we say that, if we're not in his word. And also, how can we abide in his love if we don't understand how to follow him? Because he says that if you abide in me, if you keep my commands, if you follow me, I will abide in you and you in me. If we can have understanding, but if we're not increasing in that, then we're going to be ineffective, unproductive, as Peter said in verse 10. So, went through the why we should fall in love with God's word. We're going to look at practically what does that look like when we fall in love with God's word. If you could please turn your Bibles to Romans 12. We're only going to look at the first two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This passage, well, this whole chapter, rather, is something that I never really fully grasped, even though I memorized it back in ninth grade. And I sometimes still don't. But memorizing scripture, memorizing his word, will help you to meditate on it and understand what it means to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice because you want to please God. You can understand fully what it means not to conform to the patterns of this world. Every day we look at this and maybe we point out by the disciples or our friends, like, hey, like, you're not living like other people, or you are living like other people. People might say that, right? You spend too much time in video games, or you spend too much time by yourself. You're not giving to others, whatever it is that you're conforming to the world. But if we want to understand, it says, and be able to test and approve what God's will is, we have to have our minds renewed. That is the condition. Again, It says, then you will be able to test and approve what his will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will, if we're not conforming to the pattern of the world, if we're having our minds renewed through living a life that is godly, living a life that is enveloped by his commands and his and our love for him through his word.
So practically, setting your mind on God first and foremost is going to really help with building your foundation in God's word. Colossians 3:1-2 talks about this, where we have to set our minds on things above. We have to set our mind on God. God is the ultimate source of our change, of how we're going to change. Without him, there is no change. Because kind of like we said before, the more you try to do things on your own power, you're only going to run around in the same circle before anything like drastic happens. But we have to trust God and be obedient to him. We have to be in his word and know his word so that way we can grow and we can mature. And then secondly, we just have to bring everything back to God. You know, I think a lot of times we are searching for things, and we go to our peers, and we go to our mentors, and we go to YouTube, and like spiritual videos, and different things like that. And not to say that any of those things are wrong, because God does give us each other so we can learn and so we can grow from. But we have to go back to what the Bible says, biblically. Like, for example, like if you're trying to learn how to be more self-controlled, you know, ask for advice, of course. But go back and, you know, go on, I can maybe list some websites later, but I like to go on a website and search what does the Bible say about being self-controlled, and then looking at all the scriptures that come out and then studying out those scriptures and see what God says. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how we're going to learn to be more effective, is to go back to God's word. Mm-hmm. And we just have to be very careful of not putting our standards and like people's standards above God, because God should always have the first and the last word. You know, we are great, but we are imperfect. You know, we have to point each other back to God, to who is perfect, to who is trustworthy, to who is going to be radiant and give life.
Just to close out with two scriptures, actually, I'm going to pass it back off to you real quick after this, but Philippians 4:6-8 is a practical that I've had to continuously live by, that I've had to learn to live by in my life. Philippians 4, chapter verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How many times, I've been anxious so many times in my life, whether it's my full-time job or it's the spare time, it's every time after that that I use for ministry and what have you, or the relationships that I'm trying to build, the studies that I've been in. It's overwhelming, and I'm a very anxious person and by nature insecure and introverted, so I live by this scripture, going to God with petition. But one thing that Paul makes clear, we can't forget about thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving in our petitious prayers, and even just in our prayers in general, is so important to live that out, because it helps us keep the perspective, the right perspective we need to have of God and his word, which is that God's already given us so much to live the life that we are already living, and he will continue to give us what we need to live the life he wants us to live. And we can be thankful for that and continue to be confident in his word that we can live the life that he wants us to live. Jen, let's back over to Chelsea.
So I just have three more practicals. First is, don't run from the truth. I think we need to be honest with ourselves, with what we're going through, and even with what the Bible says about what we're going through. You know, whether we're in sin or need to repent of something or need to change something. Like, we just need to be running to God's truth. Hebrews 4:12 compares the Bible to a double-edged sword. You know, a sword cuts and exposes and reveals things. That's what the Bible does. It is trying to reveal those things in your character, but it's all for good. You know, I think a lot of times we can go through things and be like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. God, why is this happening? Like, I don't even want to know what you're trying to teach me because it just hurts so much, or whatever it is, or even through the good things. But God is trying to teach you something to make you more like him. And when we keep that in mind, we won't run from the truth, no matter how scary it is. And secondly, don't let a lack of understanding stop you from reading God's word. I think a lot of times we make the excuse of, like, I just don't understand what this means. I just don't, you know, we just don't connect with it, or whatever it is. But beg God to teach you, to expose to you the truth. Because it's Satan's lies that we're listening to when we tell ourselves, like, okay, well, I just don't get this. I guess it just wasn't meant for me to know. Like, that's a pure lie from Satan. Don't let Satan steal your joy in God's word. But yes, pray and ask persistently. God will reveal it in his timing. And James 1:5-6 say that if you ask for wisdom, God will give it. So ask him. And then lastly, keep scriptures with you. Have them easily and readily accessible to you. You know what you need. You know what you look at, whether it's going to be on your phone, on your mirror, in your car, I don't know if anyone has lockers or whatever, but like, or if you go to the gym, put it in your gym locker. Like, I don't know. Like, keep scriptures where it's going to be easily accessible to you. Like for me, for example, I have this pouch on my keychain where I have index cards just with a bunch of scriptures. And I've kept like a stack of index cards that have scriptures on them. And when I need to, depending on what I'm going through and what I'm trying to learn and whatever, I'll change them. You know, have scriptures that apply to you and that you can take with you. And even how knowing those scriptures and stuff, you can encourage somebody else with them who's going through something similar. Just be like, hey, like, let me pass you this index card. Like, this is what really helped me in a time where I was going through something like this. It just reminds me so much of, like, Psalm 1, where it says, those whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Like, be a tree planted by the streams of God's water, of God's word, you know, and let your roots grow deep with God. And I think practically, if you do those things, you will really excel in God's word, and you will really excel in your personal walk. But that's on my practicals. But I did want to share, because I know I mentioned, like, what websites that I use to search up scriptures. So you can look at BibleStudyTools.com. Blue Letter Bible is really good. I also look at a lot of commentaries. David Guzik, I think that's how you say it, I don't know. It's G-U-Z-I-K. His commentaries are really helpful. Bible Hub is really helpful, especially if you want to look at Greek words and look at what the Bible's initial definition of what is saying, so that way you can read it in context and know, like, okay, this is what these people were going through, and this is what these people understood from when they heard this. So I think just using those tools, asking people, you guys are going to go far. So thanks.
And just to close out with one final scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, guys, it says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, training, and encouraging, to equip us to be in every good work. I know I paraphrased a bit there, but just even if you're reading something, you don't understand it, that's okay. It's useful. It's not useless. I think sometimes we can not understand something and go, well, I don't see the point in that. I don't know what the scripture means. But like Chelsea said, one thing that is really helpful is to go to a website that does the Greek original Greek definitions. Bible Hub is something I've been using for the past 6 months, actually, to try to help my grandfather kind of put aside some of the more doctrinal traditions that he had. And it's been effective for the most part, but it's still working on it. And it's actually helped me to deepen my understanding of God's word and be able to effectively communicate it to other people. So, the Bible isn't a useless book. It's useful. Every scripture is useful, even if we don't understand it. But it's something that we need to be in, not just for ourselves, but for other people. And if you do that, if you hold on to that, you'll abide in him and you'll be able to keep his commands because you will understand, because you'll actually know them because you're reading them. Mm-hmm. So with that, I want to open up for a short Q&A session until 1 o'clock. Guys, any questions? Any, maybe something that you guys have found helpful that has helped you dig deeper into God's word already that you want to share with others?
Or any responses as well? Can you share anything from the lesson?
I'll say something. Okay. I think it was cool how you were saying if you don't read for yourself, read for someone else. I always thought about how it's not only helping you, but it's helping you give advice to other people. So I think that was cool. And just like you, I despise reading. You won't ever catch me with a book. So I think it was cool to see I wasn't the only one. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Question. So it was Bible Study Tools, David Guzik.
Mm-hmm. So BibleStudyTools.com. David Guzik is a commentary. Mm-hmm. Bible Hub and Blue Letter Bible.
Blue Letter Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, when you were talking about the using the Greek translation, because one of the things that really got me into the word, or really helped me dig deeper into the word, was also just having two different translations in front of you.
Oh, absolutely.
In the Bible. Mm-hmm. And you're getting the NIV, which mm-hmm. and then you get something that maybe throws you off and makes you think, and I feel like that was always really helpful for me, because then I get especially if one of them was a study Bible. Mm-hmm. So I had the NIV study Bible and something else that was just completely different translation that I didn't really, it had nothing to do with what I was reading, but then it made me think about what compares and contrasts in the chapter.
Yeah, absolutely. Different translations, a study Bible or a life application Bible, of course, definitely help you there. Yes.
Yeah, there's a Bible called The Passion. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it's kind of like that. On the bottom of each scripture, it'll have an explanation, or on the bottom of each page, kind of like an explanation. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Message, but not. It's called The Passion Version.
Passion Version. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
For me, sometimes when I'm reading my Bible, I can have this I guess goal that I want to read X amount of chapters today. Mm-hmm. And sometimes my brain gets fried when I'm mm-hmm. so I'm how much should you be reading? Sometimes I feel bad if I read small mm-hmm. chapter. How much I guess.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think quality over quantity. It's not about how much you read, it's about what you're reading and what substance you're getting from it. Because you can read two verses and that change your whole entire day. You know what I mean? It's about getting that connection and being deeply rooted with God. So I think, because I can be, I definitely have had those periods where I'm okay, I'm trying to read 5 chapters in this day, I'm trying to read 3 chapters, and then trying to do all this stuff, and it's first of all, do I even have the time for that? you know what I mean? With everything else, all the responsibilities I have. But no, you got to think about what do you need? What do you need to hear? And that will help.
Yeah. To add to that, I think it's one reason why I read whole passages is because I wanted to make sure we got the context of what was trying to be communicated. So you can read chapters and chapters and chapters, but be careful just reading one verse or two verses and thinking that you got what it's saying. I think trying to make sure that you read, if you have to read an entire passage so you get a clear context of what's trying to be said. And if you don't understand it, that's okay. you can go to ask, continue to ask God for wisdom and guidance and knowledge. Mm-hmm. Ask somebody else if you don't understand it, but I just try to get the entire context if you can of what's trying to be communicated instead of rather just reading one or two verses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a question about
yes.
How do you guys approach, like, if you find a scripture that you kind of want to fight? How do you guys do?
A fight about, like, a contradiction between a different passage or a fight?
Well, either that or just contradiction between what you feel like is right versus what God says is.
Mm. Well, the heart is deceitful above all else. Who can understand it, right? So if you're feeling like the Bible is wrong or what God says is wrong, well, probably we're wrong and God's right. It might just be a misunderstanding. So that's where it's helpful to continue to pray out to God and also seek advice from other people who know the Bible better, just to make sure that you're not putting your feelings ahead of God mm-hmm. or before God.
And I think it takes a level of humility and submission to God's word, because we'll always run against that, like, I don't want to, like I was saying, read my Bible every day. But what are the pros and what are the cons to that? Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm going to deplete myself of the Bible, where do I expect myself to go? Or whatever it is that you're, like, counter-arguing in your mind, I think just praying first, getting open about what you're feeling and how you're feeling about the word or whatever it's saying, and just really ask God, like, okay, like, if I'm in the wrong, help me to be humble and help me to accept this so I can apply it and I can live the way you want me to live. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Ashley, did you have something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I like what you said about the index cards, and mm-hmm. you probably shared this, but what really helps me is to have it on my phone, because sometimes, mm-hmm. like, you know, if I'm going through something at work or in school or whatever it may be, I could just, like, you know, go into the bathroom or something mm-hmm. or, like, into the hall and just, yeah. you know, have certain scriptures on my phone. And another thing is, like, kind of, that has helped me is learning, okay, what are the ways that Satan attacks me?
Right.
Usually, like, you know, mostly it'll be, like, certain specific things. So I'll have it, like, you know, specific things on my phone, like, you know, if it's insecurity or forgiveness or, mm-hmm. you know, I'll have that, and then I'll have specific scriptures in there so I know, like, right away where I can go to. But, yeah, the index card one, that
yeah.
also has helped me, so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And yeah, index cards, keeping stuff on your phone. If you have a desk job like I do, keeping it underneath the monitor on, like, a little piece of paper, like, positioned there, that helps with memory as well. If you're always seeing it, you're always reading it. Even if you're not intentionally, like, reading it, you're always glancing at it, so you can memorize it word by word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so as believers, not only are we supposed to read the Word of God, but we're also supposed to speak it over our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the biggest thing that I noticed is that if I claim to be a Christian and my life says a different thing, then, you know, what does that mean about the word? What does that mean about my life? What does that mean about what other people are seeing? I think the more that I read, because when you say speak the word, like, are you talking about, like, when I read the word, or just, like...
Right, so it's more so using the word actively in your life. So it's one thing to read the Bible and say, oh, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Mm-hmm. But let's say you're in a situation and you randomly get an anxiety attack or you start panicking. Mm-hmm.
I see. Yeah.
You can't always run to your Bible and start flipping through the pages and
right.
be like, oh, where's that verse?
Yeah.
You're right.
You have to know it in your heart. It has to be settled
yeah.
in your heart so you can speak to that anxiety and say,
oh, okay,
God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. You know, speak to yourself so
yeah.
that your spirit receives it and you calm down as a result.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by speaking the word.
Okay. Okay. I see. Yeah. That opens a lot of doors. But I think one thing for me actually has to do with, like, the fear. I have noticed that in my life I get rooted, or I mean a lot of the actions that I do are rooted in fear. I just want to protect myself, or I don't want to get hurt or I don't want to do something. But I think the more that I like memorize scriptures, and one of them that I love is in 1 John, and he talks about like perfect love is not, I don't know why I can't remember right now.
Perfect love drives out fear.
Drives out fear. There you go. Okay, I was like, something. Okay, perfect love drives out fear. And seeing how like in times where I do feel fearful, I have to stop and reassure myself, like, that's not from God. Because if perfect love drives out fear, whatever fear I'm feeling is not coming from God. Mm-hmm. So I had to stop that and identify. And I love what you shared, where you had to know how Satan's going to attack you. Mm-hmm. I think being in the Word has helped me to see how Satan attacks me, and how I'm going to like take whatever scripture of what I'm going through right now, and now I'm going to do that. Because before, I've never been diagnosed with anxiety, but like I physically break down, like I pop eye blood vessels, I shake, like just crazy weird things happen to me, and that hasn't happened anymore because I am counteracting my life with God's word. So I guess that to share that, but
I think referencing John, 1 John 4, says perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that usually when we fear something, we're fearing about getting hurt or being punished for something that we did, right? So I think we need to make sure that we're having a healthy fear of God out of our love for him and also reverence for him, but also realizing that, okay, there is real danger in some of the circumstances we put ourselves in, but we don't have to be fearful of it because we have security in God.
Yes.
So, I'm very new at this, so I'm just trying to understand the messages from the Bible when I read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that everybody's interpretations could be kind of different once they read it, but I was just wondering if you had any questions that could help prompt my understanding of what I'm supposed to take away. Because mm-hmm. in quiet time earlier, they like asked questions like, what audience is it specifically? Like, are there any questions like that that you have that you could give me?
Yeah. I think that audience question is like good. Is like, who is this passage talking to? Who wrote it? And those things. But I think if you're looking more so for personally, you want to ask yourself, like, what is it talking about? What is this passage talking about? What can I learn, or what can I like physically see, or any kind of like tangible thing I can see in this passage? And how can I apply that to me today? How can I, like, for example, if you're starting out being self-controlled, and it says to, you know, be quick to listen, slow to speak, for example, you want to think like, okay, in my day, how can I be quick to listen and slow to speak? Like, is that going to be in how I interact with my parents or my friends or any professors? Maybe is it at my job? Like, maybe, like, I know I work in, like, customer service, and it's always about, the client's always right, you know, whatever order's wrong or whatever happens. Like, you know, I don't want to be like, well, no, you said this, you know what I mean, or stuff like that. So I think asking yourself, you know, how can you take what you just learned and apply it today? I'm asking yourself that. I think that'll help really draw out the word.
As far as understanding, as we were reading through scriptures, as I kind of went through them, looking at the grammar of it and looking at ifs, therefores, so that, therefore, for this reason, looking for statements like that usually joins what the scriptures before and the scriptures after. And hopefully it can give you a good understanding of, like, okay, if this happens, then this is the result, or if this doesn't happen, then this is the result. And looking for things like that grammatically in the scriptures when people are either speaking or when the author is writing to a certain group of people, whether or not it doesn't really, lack of a better term, matter what they're talking about, but it will help you understand exactly what it is that is conditional, and hopefully give you understanding of like the cause and effect of a result of actions or a mindset that you can have. So looking for those therefores, if that we read in a lot of these scriptures, ifs, thens, will can help you hopefully gain a better understanding. Looking for those grammatical things that are put there for a reason so that we can understand. Yes? Not just why, but if you don't, maybe what in other people's lives or even in your life that you're forgetting at that time can help you believe in what you're reading again or for the first time. Yes?
I think that was actually a really good question that you brought up because it made me think of my own journey with God. And I think, you know, why should you believe this? And I think one thing that really helped me was, well, because I've seen it change my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I see how God completely changed my character and how he completely, through me, he also reached my dad, who has never shown emotion in his entire life. And I'm like, okay, just seeing things that were impossible with man become possible with God, mm-hmm. it's like, this is why I believe this, because I see it and I feel it. And, you know, no one can tell me that what I feel is not right or like, it's not real. So just speaking from my own experience, God's definitely working in my life. He's definitely doing something. This is why I believe. This is why I believe. That in the beginning there was God, and the Word is God, and all of that. And I believe that perfect love drives out fear because I've seen it, and I've used that. And I spoke those words in my life whenever I felt like fearful to share with someone. You know, like perfect love drives out fear. And in doing that, like that person was actually interested, and that person was open.
Yeah.
And just so seeing God take down all the barriers that I have, you know, constantly putting him to the test, you know, like, all right, God, perfect love drives out fear. I'm going to go do that. And seeing God, you know, prove me wrong in that way, like, no, you need to be more faithful. So that's just something that I always ask myself, and then God always gives me the answer. So in that way, he's very gracious, he's very patient with me.
Yeah. I think we can wrap some things up.
Yeah, we have time. We have 3 minutes, so we have time for probably one more question, if anybody has one. Otherwise, we'll close out with a prayer, and you guys will be dismissed. Anyone have any more questions they'd like to ask? There's a lot. Giovanni, you have anything?
Yeah.
I kind of forgot you're over there.
Yeah. Real quick, I thought it was really cool how you pointed out that we can't say we're living a godly life if we're not reading His Word. And it made me think about, like, let's say, like, an example. Father, right? A father works every day for his son to, you know, make some money for him to eat and all that. But it's like, if you're not even talking to your son doesn't have a connection with you. He doesn't feel that you actually love him. He's like, you say you love me, but I never see you. We never talk. We never spend time. So that kind of made me reflect in that same way. It's like, if we don't read our Bibles, we don't spend time with God, we can't say we're really living for him.
Yeah.
Well,
that's true. Yeah. That's a very good point.
Awesome.
All right, let's close out with a prayer, and thank you guys for coming.
Yes, thank you.
God, we just thank you for this time that we can just dig deep into your word, God, and continue just to look at the simple things of your word, God, what it means.